I wonder how that psalm makes you think and feel. It comes up quite regularly in morning prayer, and it always strikes me how positive it is. Sometimes life might seem a bit overwhelming, the sorrow, the difficulties, the loneliness in our personal lives, maybe struggles with finances or illness or loss of loved ones, maybe our own aches and pains and limitations as we get older, maybe the news across the world, the wars, the killings, the cruelty, the greed, the selfishness, maybe our own wrongdoing, mistakes, or just busyness, trying to do too many things and letting God get squeezed out. David wrote this psalm, and many of the psalms in our Bible. He had his own share of problems and struggles and challenges in his life. Youngest of eight brothers, he was given the job of caring for his father's sheep out on the hills in all weathers, fighting off the lions and the bears. Not even present when his family had a special time of worship. And yet, it was him that was anointed king, because God saw his heart and he knew how much David loved and trusted him. Then David had a long wait before he actually became king. He had to flee for his life as the jealous previous king, Saul, tried many times to kill him, while David remained unshakably loyal to Saul. Later, he flees again because of a conspiracy by his own son. He has lots of responsibilities. He leads his men into many battles as he rules Israel as its king, finally. He makes his mistakes, but even then, he turns back to God. And so through it all, David writes psalms, worship songs. He honestly calls on God in his troubles, but he also constantly praises God. His psalms are full of praise for the Lord's character and the Lord's works. Whatever happens, David never stops trusting and believing in God. This particular psalm, Psalm 145, is what's called an acrostic psalm. It means that every verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's been thoughtfully written. And typically of Hebrew psalms, it also has what they call parallelism. That means each verse has two halves, and the first half of the verse is echoed in the second half, or contrasted in the second half, or the second half amplifies the first half of the verse. If you read it again later at some point, you'll see what I mean, which makes it beautiful to read. So what can we learn about praising God in this psalm? What does David praise God for? He talks of God's unfathomable greatness. He's always beyond anything we could imagine. Our minds can't fully comprehend him, and yet he loves to reveal himself to us. David talks of the glorious splendour of God's majesty. We see a bit of that, don't we, with our own kings and queens in their coronations, the great pageantry that we have in Great Britain when we do crown our kings and queens. And yet that's nothing compared to the splendour of God, the King of Kings. David reminds us how important it is for one generation to tell the next of God's works. And we've had a bit of that today. We've sung a hymn that was 500 or 600 years old. We've heard a bit about people's testimonies. You know, one generation is called to tell others. So we tell our children and grandchildren. We tell younger people in the church, and maybe they tell us too, what God has done in our lives, what God has done for us and in us and through us. How we can celebrate the lives God has given each one of us as his people today. The Israelites were really good at this. They used to recount to their younger generations their history of all God had done for them, pass on the baton, as it were. They had great special festivals that reenacted God's mighty deeds in their history, great big get-togethers with special foods and actions and worship. They celebrated, for example, the great Exodus from Egypt, where God heard the cry of his people suffering in bitter slave labor as they built Pharaoh's pyramids. And he called Moses to bring them out with those dramatic plagues and then the parting of the Red Sea. We've got much more exciting news to celebrate in Jesus, God's Son. We've heard a bit about that as well today. Jesus, born as a man, who lived among us an amazing life of miracles and teaching, and then died for us on that cross so that we can be completely forgiven and reconciled to God. The Israelites entered the promised land. We enter life eternal. The gift of the Holy Spirit guarantees our place in God's everlasting kingdom. He lives in us as our comforter and our guide, our helper, our constant companion. He empowers us to do great works, greater works, we're told, than Jesus did. That gives us lots more to show and tell. It's a bit like school, you know, show and tell the greatness and the glory of God as he works in our lives. Some of the verses in the psalm we just read say, they tell. And then they go on and say, I will meditate. They speak, I will proclaim. They celebrate. It's beautifully written to suggest that other people speak of God, but we too are each called to speak of and reflect on God and give testimonies to all his goodness to us. So all his people are called to declare his greatness so that all people might know the Lord. Our open-hearted God wants every nation to know his mighty acts and the glorious splendor of his kingdom. He wants every person to be in relationship with him. David describes what the Lord's like based on his personal experience and his meditations. He says the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. What a wonderful expression. He doesn't say he's rich in material goods. Maybe that's what our world chases after. He says he's rich in love and he's generous with his love and he abundantly spreads it around. He's good to all. He has compassion on all he's made, all creation, not just one nation or person, not just the privileged few. And we see how Jesus, when he was on earth, tenderly healed the sick and cared for the outcasts of his society. And we're called to do the same, to go to those that maybe other people don't show an interest in. That's our God of love. And God reigns forever in his everlasting kingdom, a kingdom of justice and joy, which is open to each one of us. God is trustworthy in all his promises. He's faithful in all he does. He'll never let us down. His word is always fulfilled. We can rely on him. He upholds all who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. When we are overwhelmed and the pressures of life get to us, he's there. He hears the cry of those who fear him and saves them. And don't we pray that now for Israel and Gaza and for Ukraine and for all the countries at war? We pray God will hear their cry. The Bible gives many examples of those who cry out to God and who are rescued. We heard of the Jews being set free. Psalm 107, another beautiful psalm, tells of the hungry and thirsty whose life is ebbing away and cry out to God, and they're led to a city to settle in. It tells of prisoners brought out of darkness and their chains broken. It tells of those who've done wrong and reached a desperate place. And I've met people like that, whose lives have led them into a really black hole of a corner. And God can turn their lives around. He can heal them and save them. It talks of sailors in tempests on the sea, gladdened as God stills the storm and hushes the waves and brings them to their desired haven. We serve a God who hears our cry and saves us. David also mentions God feeding his people. And again, the Bible's got some miraculous feedings. The Israelites in the desert, they're hungry, they're thirsty. They get water out of a rock. They get just enough manna daily for each person. We have Elijah, who in a time of drought and famine gets fed by ravens and by a widow whose jug of oil and jar of flour miraculously never run out until the rains return and food can be grown again. In the gospel, Jesus feeds thousands, doesn't he, in a remote place with one little boy's picnic lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. I wonder what testimonies you've got of how God has miraculously supplied for you over the years. What stories have we got to tell? Ultimately, Jesus calls himself the bread of heaven. He satisfies the desires of every living thing, all our needs, and more besides, with his extravagant giving. God is righteous in all his ways. He never does wrong. He's always just. He will destroy the wicked, but he is true and holy. He watches over all who love him. He's near to all who call on him in truth. We can turn to him anytime, anywhere. There's that song, anytime, any place, anywhere. Oh, that came to my mind. We can turn to God anytime, any place, anywhere. And we can know he's listening and he'll hear and respond to our prayer. He'll pick us up when we're down. And so with all that, I mean, David pours all that out. I wonder how we show our appreciation for what God's done in our lives, in our words, in our songs, in how we spend our time, in how we treat other people. Because of all God is and has done for us, true worship and praise should be welling up from our hearts, from deep within. One of the commentaries said one of the verses translates as springing forth like a bubbling spring. And I thought that's a lovely image. Wouldn't it be lovely if our praise was springing forth like a bubbling spring as we pour all who we are and all who we say and all that we do out in praise of God. And so our Bible's book of Psalms, which were the Hebrew songs, ends with 6 psalms of praise. And one of the commentators said it's a great way to end a book. And he said it's a great way to end a life on earth in praise. As we get older, our days could be filled with, oh, I used to be able to do this. Oh, my back aches. Oh, my legs ache today. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, to go into that I can't do this anymore mentality. But instead, you know, we could fill our days with more and more stories of God's faithfulness, of what God's done for us in our lives, of all the things we can look back over and see of how he's been with us. We said earlier that prayer, didn't we? To know more clearly, love more dearly, and follow more nearly day by day. We have a God who is faithful and loving and true. And we can prepare ourselves now with lots of praise, ready for when we're going to be in his presence eternally. Everlasting praise with no more aches and pains, no more sorrows, no more dying, no more wars. I found another quote in the commentaries which said, some Jewish writers say, whoever sings this psalm of praise, Psalm 145, constantly, 3 times a day, will certainly be happy in the world to come. So I'll leave you with that challenge. Maybe we should read it regularly and remind ourselves, not just to sing our songs of praise here, but to have lives full of praise. Amen.